Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, after all the instruction that the apostle has given in this wonderful book of Ephesians, it comes down to this: finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, you can't conjure that up, can you? And I don't think that the apostle here was so much giving them a command, as it were, that they were to do it, but he was simply stating more or less a fact that they would be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, going back to the first chapter of this book of Ephesians. And so he continues, though. He says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, as we were discussing earlier today, how important is that in our time? It's always been important. Don't misunderstand me. It's always been necessary. Let's put it that way. It's always been necessary that we realize that Satan, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That was Eve's fault in the garden, wasn't it? She did not heed the word of God. She did not heed the commands of God. And the wiles of the devil, do we understand that Satan is very subtle? Do we understand that he walketh about not only as a lion, but as an angel of light?
Yeah.
Now, if we recognize Satan as a lion, how many of you are ready to face a lion? But what about an angel of light? Quite a different thing, isn't it? Now, the reason being is, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. If we wrestled against flesh and blood, we might have a chance, right? But as Bruce mentioned earlier today, the unbeliever is taken captive of Satan at his will. In other words, whenever he gets ready. There is no defense for the unbeliever against the wiles of the devil. Oh, I can outsmart him. No, pray not. Only God can he? And he equips his people with the right armor, if you will, with the right weapons to defeat the purpose of Satan. Now, this right here ought to give us great thought. If Paul and if God did not know that we could very well be subject unto the wiles of the devil, he wouldn't have put this in here, would he? We need to understand and realize that we of ourselves are no match for Satan. Over in the book of Jude, stay there because we're going to be back there in just a minute. But in the book of Jude, in verse 9, it says, "Yet Michael, the archangel," powerful being, right? "When contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, 'The Lord rebuke thee.'" And we were in San Antonio. This one fellow was always going around saying, "I rebuke thee, Satan." Well, you know, I don't think Satan that was kind of like that demon that who was it? The two sorcerers were trying to cast out, and they said, "Well, you know, Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are you?" You know, and they got on him and beat him all up. Remember that story?
Wasn't it the seven sons of
Sceva?
Yeah.
I think so. And it's just amazing, you know, what people think that they can contend of themselves with Satan. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." What is that little saying you always have about the...
Who are you looking at, Bruce?
Yeah.
I don't have a saying.
Forget how you put that now.
I'm trying to think myself.
Oh gosh, I can't think it. I can't think it right now. But anyway, this is what we're up against. And then he goes on. He says, "Wherefore, because of who you're contending with and what you're contending with, take unto thee the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able." Now there's a good promise, isn't it? He doesn't say whereby you might be able. He says ye shall be able. By doing all of this, and God's people will do this. Again, most of religion today reads these verses of scriptures as if it might be, but it may not be. But the promises of God are all yea and amen in Christ Jesus. "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," right? And so we have this confidence that he is going to prepare us, and that's the reason again that we meet together. And as the writer of Hebrews puts it, "We forsake not the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, But we exhort one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. Above all, then, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So all of this equipment, if you will, God provides for His people that we may be able to quench those fiery darts that Satan sends at us. So there's no temptation, right? You're taken of no temptation except what is common to man. And the Lord will, with that temptation, what will He do? Yeah, make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Good. We don't always do that, though, do we? And, you know, that's, again, one of the great mysteries of God. We understand that we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. But still, you know, it just bothers me sometimes. And I ask myself the question, well, why? Why do I sin? I think we were talking about, was it last Lord's Day? Nothing good ever comes of it. Nothing good can come of it, because sin is sin. It is evil. It's nothing. It cannot be good. And so nothing good can come of it unless it's simply that God uses it to chastise His people. But whatever, it still is a reproach to the name of God. And by the way, no sin can hurt God. Now, sin is a reproach against the name of God, but God Himself is not bothered by it. I think that's something else that most people never think about. God is above and apart from all sin, regardless of what it is. He is above and apart from it. He can't be touched by it. It may bring a reproach against His name, but it's not going to touch Him. It's an amazing thing when you think about it. I think of a verse of scripture Job 35. He says, if thou sinnest, what doest thou against Him? Talking about God. Or if thy transgressions be multiplied, what doest thou unto Him? Says, if thou be righteous, what givest thou Him, or what receiveth He of thine hand? Thy wickedness may hurt a man as thou art, and thy righteousness may profit the son of man. But what is it going to do to God? Nothing. So take up on you the whole armor of God. But then he says in verse 18 of Ephesians 6, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, and so forth and so on. But here's the thing, after you've taken upon you the whole armor of God, including faith, including the Word of God, it would seem that it would all be in vain without prayer and supplication. And how many times do I fail to pray? Now, again, the command is to pray always, right? So, how do you do that? I think we've talked about this before. You can't always be down on your knees. In fact, you can't always be directly thinking in terms of prayer. But you can always walk in the fear of the Lord. And even if you cannot do this directly, you always know and believe and trust. And in a certain sense, you're always aware that God is there and that your prayer is unto Him in your sighings, in your breathings, in and out, so to speak. God is always in your thoughts. But of course, there are those times when we give ourselves specifically to prayer. Sometimes verbally, but sometimes just in the measure of our minds, we pray to the Lord. Praying always, that's pretty often, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Well, you can take that two ways. You can take it that you're always to come before Him with prayer and supplication, or you can take it the same way that Paul writes to the Thessalonians. Pray without ceasing. Pray always. But always when you pray, come to Him in prayer and supplication and in the Spirit, right? Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication, not only for yourself, but for all saints. But prayer and supplication, you do not come unto the Lord with a puffed up mind, do you? To the prayer and supplication as it is set forth here implies in a measure, a great measure of humility and meekness. You understand that God is only obligated to hear your prayers through Jesus. You cannot come to God outside of Christ.
Amen.
And so the very way that we must come to Christ, to God, is an humbling and a meek way. We cannot demand anything of Him. We can pray with confidence and boldness, right?
Mm-hmm.
Come boldly unto the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and grace to help in your time of need. But we cannot demand anything of God time-wise or specific things. But we do have this promise that whatsoever we ask in His name, believing, we have our petitions, right? So in our prayers, we have this promise. Today, we've done a lot of this, putting on the whole armor of God, haven't we? But now, let us go to Him in prayer and supplication, begging our God for His mercy's sake to do those things for us that we require to perfect that salvation which has been wrought in Christ. So let us pray.
Gracious Father in heaven, we come to you this day because we know that our merciful God needs. We ask, Lord, first of all, that you continue to teach us to pray, and teach us how to pray, and then that you would answer those prayers.
Yes.
We ask, I guess, most of all, Lord, that you would open your word to us, that we only want to be not on necessarily on our minds, but on our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
It might make our hearts soft, that we might humble ourselves in before your mighty. We pray, every Father, for those who are not here today, those who are real, Lord, who are not blind, that, Lord, we pray that they might be returned unto us the sooner and not too late. We ask, Lord, also that you give us your word, that we might have great understanding, we might have confidence in it.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, that we might be given each week as we stand before you the word that is needful for us.
Yes.
Lord, first of all, also teach us how to worship, how we ought to be able to humble ourselves and bow before you in all holiness and righteousness, laying every burden aside, that we might come boldly then before your throne, because we are always in need. Lord, we sometimes murmur a little bit about not being of any size, not having any people. But Lord, we fit in the purpose. The purpose is that our will might be done on earth. And we are confident, Lord, that it shall be so, that you will carry out every intent that you had in the very beginning before the foundations of this world. Also, Lord, we pray that we'd have great understanding about the wisdom, Lord, that we'd not look back and say, well, why are things not like they used? and be content, Lord, to have the knowledge that thou art all power, that thou art all wise, that all things work together for good to them that love thee, and that they are called according to thy purpose. And may thy purpose be our very desire as we go through this world, that all things would be done in perfect order, in that perfect time, Lord, always in thy time. So we pray for patience also, we might be always waiting upon you and not trying to get ahead of things or be wiser than that, or that we'd always be submissive to the things that goes on without us, because we know that it all works together to thy glory. Lord, we pray that you would be glorified in your church, that it might be your church's ultimate goal to bring the great glory. Now, Lord, go with us this next week and open your word to us again, that we might have understanding, that we might have knowledge, that we might have then wisdom to operate in the bounds of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All these things I ask now in thy name and for thy sake. Amen.
Amen.
Our
Father, our God, how wonderful it is that we who are so small, who are worms, yet we can call on you. And thus, coming to you, you show yourself stronger than I am. And Lord, I've watched many times that Jesus, who had my sin, prayed often and prayed long. And I wondered, what all did he have to say?
Yeah, me too.
To you. But he prayed. He communed with you. And Lord, how wonderful it is that the Creator, the God of all that there is, will commune with his people.
Amen.
And it can be through words, Lord. It can be through something that someone says to another person. It can be through the sermon.
Yeah.
It's through your word. And Lord, how wonderful it is that Peter told us you've given us everything pertaining to life and to godliness. And your book is through. Is full of those instructions on what life is and what godliness is all about.
Right.
And Lord, we know that it's not of us. We don't have that ability in our natural faculty. It's only through your Spirit. Lord, I do pray that we would remember. It can be the small things. It can be major things.
Yeah.
Lord, we can come to you about with everything. Lord, I've not been good about that. And Lord, I ask your forgiveness. Lord, there is only one God, and you are Him. And Jesus told us that without the Lord, we do need you, especially in our day when there is so much evil and it will continue on. And Lord, we do ask that you would not deliver us from the world, but deliver us from being in it.
Yeah.
evil and being caught up into it, and Lord, that we would know that everywhere we go, in everything we're doing, we can think on you, we can thank you, we can praise you, we can bless you. All of those, Lord, are prayers that are all communicating with you. How wonderful it is that we can do those things, and that we do those things because you have put your fear in our hearts.
Yes.
You have given us your Spirit, and you will never leave us. Lord, we know that all things that are good, they all come from you.
Amen.
And Lord, it's a wonderful thing to that in everything that we see, everything we hear about, Lord, that you've purposed it, you've brought it to pass, and you have a glorious purpose for doing that. Lord, I delight in knowing that you are my God.
Amen.
And that you have begun a good work in me, and that you will perform it until that day of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The Lord, let us not rest in us. Let us continue to pray, to read your word, and to come together as we're doing now to be a witness to others.
Amen.
And to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, we live in such a tumultuous world.
Oh, yeah.
The only peace there is in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And Lord, what better way to spend one's time than to think and meditate on your word, which is Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that you would wash us and cleanse us of our sins.
Oh, Lord.
And ask that you would bless this rest of the week, and that you bring us back here next Lord's Day. And that those who weren't able to be here today can be with us again next Lord's Day.
Yeah.
We praise you, we love you. And it's all because you love us first.
Amen.
And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for the occasion of being here, Father.
Amen.
And we're definitely thankful for the your beloved love that you have for us, and we're thankful for the love of every person here for us, dear Heavenly Father. And there's nothing any finer and any greater than your precious love.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, you've heard every single word that has been prayed here this day, and every word that we have studied and read in your Scripture, Father, and we need your blessings upon every single word.
Yeah.
Dear Heavenly Father, just help us to remember and to praise you on every single occasion. Father, we're thankful for the thoughts that go through our mind, but Father, we pray that they might glorify and please you. Dear Heavenly Father, forgive us where we go astray. That Father, that on every single occasion that we come in contact with somebody, that our minds might be thinking up on you, and every time that we're separated, even when we're reading your Scripture, Father, that we're thinking solely and wholly upon the Spirit of God. Dear Heavenly Father, just go with us this coming week, that we might please you and glorify you, and that we might not go astray. Father, we do pray for the condition that this world is in, Father. We know that you have a purpose. We know that everything will transpire and happen and take place exactly as you would have it to, Father.
Yeah.
And that it glorifies thy mighty, precious name. Mm-hmm. Dear Heavenly Father, the Father, we ask you to send many protective angels around us, Father, to protect us here.
Yeah.
Father, we desire to be protected in this place. So, but Father, we desire that we might please you and glorify you.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Heavenly Father, just whatever we might say, Father, that it will be to lift your name up and glorify you.
No.
Dear Heavenly Father, forgive us of those many times where we fall short. We pray all of these things in your wonderful name's sake. Say, amen.
Amen. Oh, Father, your word says that all of sin can come short of thy glory.
Amen.
Lord, I think upon this more and more, and I realize that even, oh God, even in salvation, as long as we're in the flesh, it seems inevitable that we still have not come to the full knowledge and understanding of your glory. We're still somewhat short of it, although, O Lord, you have revealed unto us so much about it. But I pray, O Father, that day by day, that thought by thought, that in our hearts that we might come more and more to understand that glory and truly be a reflection of it. But Lord, that glory, first of all, is your holiness. Oh, how far do we come short of really understanding the one that not only does not sin, but cannot be tempted with sin. And Lord, we look forward to that day when we will shed this body of flesh and, Lord, have a new body, one that is glorified, one that is purely and solely, absolutely sinless, even as we heard this morning. Lord, we need your power. We look to your power. We have no confidence in the flesh, neither in our own or in anyone else's. But Lord, we do have confidence. We have faith. We have peace. We have assurance that you will perform those things which you have intended and purposed in Christ from before the foundation of the world. We're thankful for the knowledge and the faith and belief and trust that surely if you have elected us to salvation, then we shall be saved. That you will follow through, you will carry through on all the promises that you've given to us in Jesus to bring us to the place that we are sanctified, holy, fully, as well as justified.
Yeah.
And Lord, that our lives may be a praise and a honor and a glory to your name.
Yeah.
Now Lord, direct our paths. Again, we are great believers and trusters in your providential work, as well as in your word. Lord, the principles are laid down for us for all things in that great word. But Lord, we need you to guide our steps. We need you to do as you revealed unto Isaiah, that you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it.
Yeah.
Guide and direct our lives, our thoughts, and Lord, dedicate us unto thyself, that all things indeed may be pleasant and pleasing to us, that you have commanded, and Lord, that you are doing. Help us to be able to see all things do indeed glorify your name. And it's not just words, Lord, but it is the truth and sincerity that we believe and say that we believe, we profess that we believe, Lord, that you are the Almighty Sovereign God, and that all things have been created by you, and Lord, that they are unto the glory of your name in Christ.
Yes.
Jesus said, Father, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. May that be our prayer continually.
Amen.
May it be the very love of our life and the blessedness of our hearts. We do again remember those that are not with us today. You know the reason why. We just pray that if it is sin that has kept them from being here, then remove that sin and help them, make them to repent. Lord, if it be for sickness, either spiritual sickness or physical sickness, we pray that you will remove that sickness and bring it back to be with us again.
Yeah.
That through the thanksgiving of many, that it might redound unto your glory and praise. Thank you now again for Jesus. Again, watch over us always to good, not to evil. Forgiving our sins, sanctifying us by your Spirit, and perfecting the love of Christ in our hearts toward thee, our only God, our Father, our Lord, and our Savior. In Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Lord, dismiss us with thy blessing, fill our hearts with joy and peace. Let each heart thy love possessing, triumph in redeeming grace. Refresh us, traveling through this wilderness. Refresh us, traveling through this wilderness. Thanks we give and adoration for thy gospel's joyful sound. May the fruits of thy salvation in our hearts and lives abound. May thy presence with us evermore be found. May thy presence with us evermore be found. So whene'er the signal's given, us from earth to call away, borne on angels' wings to heaven, glad to leave our cumbrous clay. May we ready, rise and reign in endless day. May we ready, rise and reign in endless day.